We had the privilege of being with you, I think, just about a month ago. I wonder if you remember what we preached on. Come and see me after. Well, if you've forgotten, I hope you haven't, but if you've forgotten, we were thinking of the words of the Lord Jesus as he faced Calvary's cross. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, do you remember that? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we thought together on the nevertheless of unquestioning obedience. In other words, the Lord Jesus had to face Calvary. He knew what was before him. Nevertheless, in spite of that, nevertheless, not my will. Oh, how often we still say, I want my will. I want my way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we ought to say that, be able to say it each day as Christian people, particularly in times of testing. Not what I want, but what God wants. And I thought this morning we would think together on another nevertheless. Did you pick it up in our reading? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. It's only a simple verse, but I would head this, dear friend, as the nevertheless of infinite comfort. The nevertheless of infinite comfort. God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. That word nevertheless means notwithstanding. That word nevertheless means in spite of. The Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter, the second letter to the Corinthians, speaks here of one, as it were, coming alongside him just at the right time. And we've thought of that already this morning, haven't we, in Psalm 16. That God has given to us the saints, other believers, that we can come and minister to them. And as we do that, we're doing it as unto the Lord. God gives us the privilege of sharing our love, our giving, for other believers. And here this morning, the nevertheless of infinite comfort. God who comforts, as one version says, correctly, not a mistranslation, but it literally is saying, but God who comforts and encourages and refreshes and cheers the depressed and the sinking. And what that means, dear friend, is this, that around us there are dear men and women, young people who are in great need. Not just food banks they need, but spiritual help, spiritual comfort, uplifting. God comforts us, he encourages us, he refreshes us. We sometimes sing, don't we? Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer just when I need him most. And then by way of introduction, we might remember this, dear friend, that God's comforts come to us just at the right time. And we're going to see that in this little verse in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 6. There may be someone, I feel in my heart, there may be someone here this morning who is cast down, depressed, discouraged, anxious, worried. So I trust that this may be a word specially from the Lord for you. Wonderful, isn't it, when people can come and say, you know, what you've been saying is just for me. I had that wonderful experience even last Lord's Day. After the evening service, a pastor's wife came to me and she said, if no one else has been helped, I've been greatly helped. It's just what I needed to hear this evening. And it may be this morning that some loved child of God, you may be young, you may be older, and you need a word of uplift and comfort. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Now, first of all, dear friend, a reality to be faced. Paul tells us in the previous verse, 5, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh, or our nature, or our being, had no rest. Notice the words, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. A reality to be faced. The Apostle Paul is speaking about an experience that he knew at this particular time. It's not very pleasant. Troubled on every side, without were fightings, within, in my heart, were fears. And it came to me like this, dear friend. It's something like a battering ram. You know the battering rams they used to use, perhaps in the days of the Romans, when they wanted to break into a city. They would use great chunks of wood, and they would crash into the walls until the walls came down. And this is the thought that Paul is using here. The battering ram, it's against me. I'm troubled on every side. I don't know where to turn. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. A reality to be faced. Paul is very conscious of this, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 8 to 12, let me read for a moment to you. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So what Paul is saying here, you see, is that he is experiencing these times. You might say this morning, well, everything's well with me. I'm on the mountaintop. I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, the time may come when it may be like a battering ram against your heart, your life, your Christian experience, your walk with God, and you feel as if you're in the dark, despair, the reality to be faced. And Paul puts it very powerfully, so death worketh in us, troubled, being pressed, to be squeezed, to be afflicted, to be disturbed, to be agitated. Do you know anything about these things, dear friend? So many of the Psalms speak on this wise, where the psalmists found themselves time and time again under pressure. Under pressure. Psalm 38 verse 6, the psalmist could say, I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. You wouldn't think it possible, would you? He is a Christian man writing about his experiences at that time. Or you move over to Psalm 77 and verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. Oh, friend, have you ever been in such a situation? Be honest before the Lord. You don't have to tell me. You know what it's all about, don't you? Have you ever known such an experience? A reality to be faced. I'm so troubled. I don't know which way to turn. Well, let's try and help one another. First of all, we are sometimes troubled, aren't we, by the enemy of our souls.
You'll know me well enough by now to know that practically in every sermon, but perhaps I preached here, I've reminded your heart and my heart that we have a very real enemy. And I don't apologize for that. I don't apologize for that. We need to remember that, don't we? We're sometimes troubled by the enemy of our souls. The enemy of our souls will do all that he can to seek to disturb our peace. You remember those words again of the Lord Jesus to Peter of old, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, knock you about, disturb you." You know the old sieves, you put a bit of soil in them, and you shake the sieve. And that's the picture that Jesus uses of the believer, Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you, knock you about, agitate you, disturb you. But I have prayed for thee." Lovely. Oh, how thankful I am for that. Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee." And Jesus is praying for you, his blood-bought child. If you're going this morning through a time of agitation, restlessness, perplexity. Yes, the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Remember, he knows the weakest areas of our lives. And so I simply say again, with the words of that hymn, watch and pray. All right? May forget many things this morning. Dear believer, watch and pray. Don't forget to pray. The enemy will do delight to keep you down all the time. Watch and pray, because Jesus is praying for me, his child. Secondly, we're sometimes troubled by the consciousness of indwelling sin, aren't we? The reality we face, we're discouraged, we're depressed, we're cast down. Sometimes we're troubled by the consciousness of indwelling sin. Is that possible for a Christian? Yes, it is. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7 verse 19, "For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in my members." And then Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am." Some commentators, they say that what Paul is saying there is that before his conversion, but if you look at the context very carefully, he is not writing as an unregenerate man there in Romans 7. He is a believer. He's a child of God, yet he's very conscious of being troubled and discouraged by the enemy, the remembrance of past sins. I mean, he had been Saul of Tarsus. He had put Christians to prison. He delighted in their death. He held the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death. It was Saul. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Have you ever said that? Perhaps this morning you're so cast down. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But he doesn't finish there. "But I thank God through Christ." There's the victory, you see. There's the victory. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down." Thirdly, by way of practical application, we're sometimes troubled by our own circumstances. By our circumstances, the things that surround us, the things with which we've been occupied day by day, and the pressure seems to get so great. And you know what it's like, perhaps. Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought," and literally it should read, "take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Oh, isn't it sad that as Christian people we're sometimes over-anxious about our goods and our wealth and our prosperity, and we're over-anxious perhaps about what we should have for Christmas and all this sort of nonsense type of things. We get so pressurized by anxious thoughts, by our own circumstances, day by day. Your Heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. Isn't that comforting? Nevertheless, God that comforteth, he comes just at the right time. And he says to me, I know what you need. Don't get too bothered. Don't get too worked up. Don't get too depressed. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And then the Apostle Paul could say, you remember, writing to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, be careful. And the word there is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? What happens? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, to garrison you and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will suddenly flood into your life, into your mind, and it'll lift you and it'll help you. You come to the Lord by prayer and supplication. Don't forget the third ingredient, with thanksgiving. You're caught up, you see, in yourself. That's the trouble. We so often think too much just about ourselves. So we come to the Lord with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. That's tremendous. That helps us, you see. We begin to count our blessings then. And we name them one by one. And we are surprised, aren't we? What God has done. A reality to be faced. Those that are cast down. Those that are troubled. On every side. But then, secondly, there's a resource to be acknowledged. A resource to be acknowledged. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these verses, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be upon us. A resource to be acknowledged. The excellency of the power of God. We need to dwell more on that, friend. The excellency of God's power. You might come to me often and say, well, I hardly know how to go on. I can't help it. I need help. Then I would say, dear friend, there are times when we can help it, as we lean upon him, the excellency of God's power. Nevertheless, God that comforteth us, a resource to be acknowledged. Now, in those words in 2 Corinthians 4, we haven't time this morning, there's a wonderful themes here. In 2 Corinthians 4, the apostle speaks of four knots. Four knots. Yet, not distressed, but not in despair, but not forgotten, but not destroyed. Dear friend, you take up, you study, you meditate in your leisure time on these four knots. The resource to be acknowledged, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What is Paul saying here? Well, he's saying quite simply this. Here is a victory which overcomes. A victory which overcomes. I'm cast down. I'm troubled. I'm over anxious. I'm depressed. I'm perplexed. Where do I get help? In the Lord. The excellency of the power of God. I've got to stop trying to sort these things out in my own reasoning, in my own understanding. I've got to stop been so restless, and I've got to lean more upon him. I love the words of John in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? This is the victory that overcomes. There's some Christians who say, I can't help. I was sharing with a number of ministers in London this week, and I remember Dr. Lloyd-Jones would numbers of times say that he had Christian people coming to him with various problems and difficulties and perplexities and discouragement and depression, and they would often come into the vestry and they would pour out their story to the doctor, and they would say, Doctor, I can't help it. And the doctor would say to them, but you can help it. I always remember that. That's a great help, isn't it? I can't help it, but you can help it in the victory that is in Christ. That's the important thing. Nevertheless, God that comforteth us. You can help it as you lean upon him. So we need, by way of application, a continual application required. What does that mean? Well, daily, looking unto Jesus. I can't help it. You can, as a Christian, looking unto Jesus. Very simple words, moment by moment. Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Friend, are you almost ready to sink? Jesus knows. Look to him. Stretch out, as it were, that hand, and he will grasp you, and he will save, and he will defend, and he will strengthen you, and he will upgird you. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down. But then, secondly, by way of application, a constant declaration. And by that I mean this. Do you ever speak to yourself? Sometimes we're told if we do that, well, you're getting a little bit older. You're speaking to yourself. There are times when, as Christians, we ought more often to speak to ourselves. A constant declaration. Paul could say in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Say these kind of verses more often to yourself when you feel troubled, cast down, discouraged. A constant declaration to yourself and to others. It'll do you good. It'll help you. It'll draw you away from yourself. Nay, in all these things, says Paul, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Isn't that wonderful? That uplifts us, doesn't it? What a wonderful story. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory. Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph. In these wonderful notes of victory, speak them to yourself. A constant declaration. And then you have those wonderful words of Paul in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. Isn't that tremendous? You're not boasting in self. The Lord means us to be able to say such things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A continual application, a constant declaration, a consuming passion. Paul says, the life of Jesus being made manifest in our body. A consuming passion. Have you got that passion? That the life of Jesus might be seen in your life, in your witness, in your experience. A minister helped me recently.
And he said, what we need to know more of is an attractive Christianity. Isn't that lovely? An attractive Christianity. That the life of Jesus, oh Lord, spare me from being so introspective and thinking only of myself too often. Oh, that the life of Jesus might be seen in me. Not my strength, but his strength. Not my resolutions, but his resources. Not my spirituality, but his spirit. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Horatius Bonner, the hymn writer, puts it so beautifully, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can be my soul's true rest. 'Tis what I know of thee, my Lord and God, that fills my soul with peace, with lips, my song. Not what I am. Oh, the devil keep us looking inward all the time. Not what I am, but what thou art. That alone can be my soul's joy. Nevertheless, God, oh friend, the wonderful nevertheless, isn't it? The nevertheless of infinite comfort. A reality to be faced. Paul knew trouble on every side. A resource to be acknowledged. Speak often, think often of the Lord's goodness and of his mercy and of his faithfulness. That'll help you get through. That'll be a tonic to you. And there's one final lesson in our little verse. Look at it. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. That's very precious, isn't it? You might say, well, can you get out of that? A responsive vessel available. A reality to be faced. A resource to be acknowledged. A responsive vessel available. By the coming of Titus. By the arrival of Titus. Listen. Just at the right time. That's the wonderful thought here. We've had experiences, Arlie and I, numbers of times over the past years, and fairly recently too, when we've felt just suddenly led to go and visit someone, and when we've got there, they've said this, you've come just at the right time. And we didn't know their particular need at that time, but they were in real need, and we didn't know, but somehow we felt it right that day to make that effort. It may be a journey of a few miles or more to go to that particular believer, and they would say, you've come just at the right time, and this is here. God that comforts those that are cast down. Oh Titus, I'm so pleased to see you. You come just at the right time. Oh, there's so much here. We'll go on with another hour, shall we? Thinking about Titus coming just at the right. I got really excited about this as I read and read and read this verse over and over again. Titus brought good news, you see, to Paul regarding the spiritual welfare of the church at Corinth. Paul had written, you remember, a letter. Paul was concerned for their spiritual growth, and Titus comes back to Paul just at the right time, when Paul was feeling perhaps very low, very discouraged, feeling there was nothing was happening perhaps as a result of his ministry. In through the door comes Titus. Nevertheless, God that comforted us by the coming of Titus. In other words, as we have proved God's comforts, so we also must provide his comfort to others. That's how I see it in my own heart. As we, as you, have proved the God of all comfort to come. come to you and help you and lift you up, so you go to others and provide the comfort that they need. The comfort wherewith you have been comforted of God. So, in other words, dear friend, the experiences, though dark they may be, and you wish they'd never come into your life, God can use them, can't they? Can't he? He can use those darkest moments, and you can go to other believers and say to them, I know, there's a Christian lady in Cheltenham recently, and she came and spoke to me after a meeting, and she said, you don't know what I'm going through, she said. I said, I do. I do. I've been there before. God who comforts us, so we provide God. Titus came just at the right time. How we should pray that we might ever be clean vessels available to the Master. Don't forget that you might be like a Titus. How we should pray that we might ever be clean vessels available to the Master. How we should pray that we might ever be ready to hear his voice. Do you know what I mean? You're comfortable in your home, you're sitting by the fire, perhaps you're reading your Bible, perhaps suddenly you feel that urge, you feel that moving of the Holy Spirit. How we should pray that we might ever be ready to hear his voice. It's not convenient now, Lord. It's a cold, wet night. It's a long way to go to visit. Oh, how we should pray that we might ever be ready. I'm listening, Lord, to thee. What hast thou to say to me? God might have to disturb our comfort zone at times to minister to others. Psalm 16. God's given us other believers to whom we can minister and show the love of God. Lastly, how we should pray to be made ever willing to accomplish even the most seeming insignificant task for the Master and for the extension of his kingdom. How we should pray to be made ever willing to accomplish even the most seeming insignificant task. It's so simple. Nothing too profound by the coming of Titus. A cup of cold water given in his name shall not lose the reward. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. But nevertheless, of infinite comfort, how tender we should be to one another, that we should love one another even as Christ has loved us. That we should be willing to be like Titus, taking some seeming insignificant piece of news to Paul just when he needed it. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything. May I be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. Nevertheless, God comforts, and God used Titus just at the right time to minister to Paul. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we pray for any dear child of God here this morning who seems to be passing through deep waters. Almighty God, we pray that thou wilt bring to them that sense of victory, not in and of themselves, but in Christ alone. Give to them, we pray, to know the peace of God, which passes all understanding. help them to look out and about amongst the church and other believers to whom they can minister and be instruments of blessing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.